So our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew. Again, that is the first of the four books that tell of the life and the teachings of Jesus. And we're going to be picking up in the fourth chapter, verse 12, as Jesus is calling his first disciples and beginning his ministry. So when John heard that, heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed Jesus. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness from among the people. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us your word this day. May our hearts receive it. May our lives live it by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So I don't know if any of you were raised with the parental expression, "That was uncalled for." You know, it was that phrase that could cut you to the quick as a kid. You know, you say something you're not supposed to say, you're mean, you're sassy. "That was uncalled for." Young lady, young man, that was uncalled for. My professor from seminary, Tom Long, reflects on what an interesting phrase that is, to be uncalled for. As if there were someone out there calling for you. As if a sense of goodness is not something that automatically wells up within you, but something that needs to be summoned and called out of you. As if being the person that you ought to be needs to be called for from the outside, which he suspects is exactly right. That one of the deepest human needs is to experience being called for. And one of the deepest human fears is that no one out there who cares enough about us to call us. If Dr. Long is correct, it may go a long way to explaining what happened this day by the Sea of Galilee. The story of Jesus calling his first disciples to leave their nets, to follow him, and to fish for people is one of the best known in the Gospels. Probably the only phrase more well known than "fishers of men" is "a good Samaritan." Last week, we looked at John's version of how Jesus invited people to follow him. And John remembers the emphasis being on "come and see," which is clearly an important starting point. But it's not enough to just see. Faith is more than intellectual agreement or adherence to what is true. It is something that has to be embodied. And so the other gospel writers recall the story with a different emphasis. In them, Jesus invites people, potential disciples, to come and follow. Jesus walks along the shore, sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting their nets. He invites them to drop everything, follow him, and amazingly, they do just that. Then he comes across two more brothers, James, and John mending nets in the boat with their father Zebedee. He repeats the invitation, and again, they seem eager to respond. They leave their livelihoods. They leave their families. The way the story reads, they don't even seem to consider their options. Jesus simply invites them to follow him, and they do. They opt to become fishers of people. Standing up and following without a second thought or a backward glance. And we're left behind, staring at their backs as they walk off with Jesus, amazed and admiring. How charismatic Jesus must have been. How daring Andrew and Simon, James and John. I have to admit that while I have always found this story to be inspirational, it's also a bit intimidating and overwhelming. How did they do that? Would I have done the same thing? Would I have dropped everything to follow Jesus? In all honesty, I'm not sure I would have dared. And it turns out I'm not alone. For there is a little noticed character in this story who does not drop everything and follow Jesus. Amy Jacks Dean drew my attention to him in a sermon she published. She says that while she had read the story maybe 100,000 times, she suddenly noticed something new. While Simon and Andrew drop their nets and follow, and James and John do the same, Zebedee does not. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were in their boat with their father. That's what we're told. So here he was, he's there, when Jesus issues this invitation. But as far as anyone can tell, Zebedee passes up on the chance to fish for people and decides to stick for fishing for fish. And she wonders why. What about Zebedee? My first thought when I read her question was, well, of course he wouldn't come. Disciples of great rabbis in those days were generally young. Zebedee was older. He was established. He owned a fishing business. Such an adventure was for someone younger, not for him. But that is my assumption. It isn't in the passage. James and John and Zebedee were all in the boat mending the net. Jesus came up to them and invited them to come and follow. Yet Zebedee did not go. He watched his sons take off with Jesus while he stayed behind in the boat holding that torn net. She wonders if maybe Zebedee simply wasn't a risk taker. There's no doubt that following Jesus would be a risky business, and we can assume that Zebedee had invested his life in building this family fishing business. It was something he knew. The rest of the family was counting on him. What if things didn't work out with Jesus? Who would put bread on the table for the rest of the family if he was off with Jesus? It may also be that Zebedee was simply too practical and too responsible, wondering where they would sleep that night, or what they would do for money, wandering around the countryside, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every kind of disease and sickness he encountered. Might be exciting and worthwhile, but it wasn't lucrative, and it wasn't a very responsible way to live. Then again, maybe Zebedee didn't believe the invitation was for him. He may have written it off, thinking, oh, Jesus couldn't possibly mean to include him, after all. His sons, sure, but not him. Jesus wouldn't want him. After all, he's just an old, broken-down fisherman. What did he have to offer? Or maybe he had gone for so long, yearning for someone to call him, that when he was finally called, he didn't dare believe it. Like, you know, those moments when you see somebody who's smiling and waving at you, and you smile and wave back, and you start kind of quickening your step to meet them, and then you realize they're not looking at you, they're looking at somebody behind you. And so you shift your gaze to look kind of behind them and pretend to turn your wave into batting away some invisible flies, or, you know, kind of starting your hair, but your burning cheeks give you away. So it may be that Zebedee had had that experience one time too many. So when Jesus calls for him, he's not going to take a chance of making that mistake again. He lets his fear that no one would ever care enough to call him stop him from hearing or trusting the call when it finally came. When I read this story, I honestly have difficulty putting myself in the place of those brothers, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. I'm pretty sure that I would have wanted more information before making a commitment to follow. You know, I want a few more details about what fishing for people would look like. And I'd like some guarantees, or at least some likely outcomes, before turning my life completely upside down. However, as much difficulty as I have seeing myself responding as those first disciples responded, I know I don't want to be Zebedee, staying behind and playing it safe. For here are the facts. We can't remain in the boat, mending nets, holding down the family business, and still call ourselves disciples. If we are to experience the joy of being called for, we will also need to become risk takers, to stay put in the boat, mending the nets, while it is comfortable and routine and regular and safe. It's not the way of Jesus. And what is true for us as individuals is also true for us as a community. It would be easy for us as a congregation to stay put in our boat. It's a really, really nice boat. To mend our nets, fixing things as they break down, while we keep up the family business, continuing to do the things we've always done. It's also comfortable and routine and regular and safe. It's what clubs do. It's what institutions do. But it isn't what the church does. Or at least it shouldn't be. For we have been called together not for security or comfort, but to be the presence of Christ in our world, to show compassion, to extend the helping hand, to walk in the way of Jesus. For there are people who are in need all around us, and there is the good news of the kingdom to be proclaimed, and playing it safe will simply not cut it. We have to get out of the boat, drop our nets, and dare to follow. To this end, the session has added a line item to the budget so that we will have funds to use as we follow Jesus into our community in the coming year. We don't really know exactly where Jesus is going to lead us. We don't know where following Jesus is going to land us. So we don't really know what those funds are going to be used for. But they stand there as a reminder and a commitment that expresses the fact that we know that if we're ever going to have a chance at figuring out what it is that God is calling us to do and be, we have to be ready and willing to take a few risks, to step out in faith, to dare to do something even if we stumble or make some missteps along the way. Over the next few weeks leading up to Lent, we're going to be exploring this theme. We will dive deeper into this call of Jesus as we explore where his collection of teachings called the Sermon of the Mount lead us. We have looked already at the invitation to come and see and the invitation to come and follow. In coming weeks, we'll look at how we live out that invitation as we answer the call to come and be blessed, come and shine, come and dare, come and love. I know there's lots of reasons that you might want to hold back. Doubt that God really has a purpose for you to fill, fear of what Jesus may demand. It is easy to rationalize that we have no light to share, no call to answer, no path to follow. Jesus actually calls these followers in the midst of dangerous times. John the Baptist, the prophet, the person who has kind of announced his coming, has been arrested. This is scary times. And yet he calls disciples to follow, and they dare to do it. I've always liked Marianne Williamson's response to all of the fears and doubts that try to hold us in place. I suspect that it will be familiar to many of you. She writes that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So let us go forward into this year as people of light, of faith, of hope, of courage. May we as individuals and as a congregation dare to come, drop our nets, and follow Jesus wherever he leads, to the glory of God. Amen.